Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Essex League Cricketer Podcast with myself, Billy Roan, Alfie Taylor and Philip Marsh. Phil, how are we doing, mate?
Good, good. Are you, have you made your millions now after lockdown's finished, Bill? Are you you back coiffuring Essex's hair?
That's it, mate. Yeah, yeah. I've retired now. I'm living off the two months' work I've just done, and I'm retiring. I'm going to live off the profits of this podcast.
Bill, it's been absolutely grafting, but we've been bogged down in really shit cricket, haven't we, for the last few weeks. We've seen a lot of good test cricket, but the actual cricket playing's been terrible, which we'll go into later on. What about you, Alf?
I've been in the gulag, actually, for the last, I'm into my second week now.
Have you fired up COD, have you, Alf?
I haven't, actually. I've just been sitting on my right hand and, giving it 15 minutes and then cracking one out, Phil.
Talk about...
Put the goggles on.
Put the goggles on. Get the ham ham in the mitt. That's what I've been up to. I've missed cricket, sadly. Fuck's sake, Phil's got his...
Talking about right hand, Bill, my season debut of wicketkeeping didn't go very well.
Is that an Amazon lockdown edition? Is that a wanking?
No, bro. I went down. I was asked to wicketkeep on a Saturday, so I went down on a Friday night to practice. Got one on the end of the thumb, broke my thumb.
I
didn't realise how much it actually... I thought keepers were always being mad asses about their fingers. I didn't realise how much it actually hurts if you get one on the end of the finger.
So is that your season done then, Phil? Because there's only a couple of games left.
No, I did it on the Friday and I went to play on the Saturday and somebody threw a ball to me in the dressing room and I dropped it and let out a wince. So I went to the hospital and they said, yeah, it's broken. So I missed a week and then started the next week back with some painkillers. But I'm going to blame the finger injury for my terrible run of form because I can't. As soon as I front foot defence one and it hits anything above the middle of the bat, it wrecks my thumb. So I just try and cart everything.
What about, we break this down, what was your batting average pre-thumb break?
30 plus the end of last season.
No, Phil, not there.
Not last this season,
year,
you dick.
This year.
It's 11.
You both must have played 8 or 9 games.
I've played 4.
It's 11. It's 11 this year, and I'm in the second team, and I can't score runs. So I seriously considered retiring and just becoming a full-time Saturday abuser / drinker.
It's going to be a big year for you, Phil. You were pushing to break into that first team.
I would have loved to, but I'm clearly not good enough, Bill. Clearly not good enough, and also maybe I've not been applying myself as much as I should. So I think I'm just going to either retire or reset and start again next year because it's been awful this year, mate.
The new sticks no good. The fake kookaburra.
The new sticks are good, mate. They're really good.
Oh, are they?
All right.
Are they
good?
They're not good. Big enough, Phil.
No, I just keep I keep playing down the wrong line and getting cleaned up, trying to hit over the top. But there's 2 weeks in the row, one seam back and taking me off stump when I tried to play it over cover or over mid off. So I should have just been on the front foot defending, but decided to cart somebody over the top and it didn't work out.
Yeah, it might be your mindset might be the problem, Phil. I mean, I personally don't look to play over the top till I'm on at least 75.
Not 7.5.
Yeah, not 7 balls.
Yeah.
Billy,
yeah,
that doesn't go through my mind. That, like, early on in my innings, I'll just take you through the psyche of my batting innings. Yeah, I'm looking to just get bat on ball, a few quick singles, keep the scoreboard ticking. I get a nice little half volley, put it through the covers for 4. At no point am I thinking I want to put this ball over the top of cover, inside out.
The one that nips back.
Yeah,
I think
as the bowler's running up, I'm going to put this guy over cover.
I think there's a lot of mental application lacking at the moment, but I think a lot of people potentially are suffering with the same thing because the decks are all crap because they've had no prep.
Oh yes, that must be it. Yeah,
it's been pissing it down. It's been pissing it down.
You can't get
a Corona as shower.
Well. Yeah, Bradman.
You can't get a shower.
Corona's in the air, making the ball do a bit and all.
Bradman would have averaged 12.
So how the f*** he expected to bat properly in the second innings when you've not had a brew and a sandwich?
You've got in your back of your mind you can't have a shower after the game, so that must fuck you up and all.
It does, mate.
Yeah.
It does.
Billy,
it does.
What about you? You spent the whole summer contemplating coming out of retirement, and we got two games left.
Yeah, well, funny enough, actually, I've been coming over watching a little bit of cricket after work, and you know, the weather's been good, the grounds have looked good, and I seriously thought, shall I come back and do this? Not for long. As soon as I get home or I get out after, I'm thinking, what am I fucking thinking here? Like, I can't be coming back playing again. But
you haven't even given yourself the opportunity.
I know, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I quite like coming over, and a lot of the players in the team don't know me, and I quite like giving it the big and saying what I would have done to that bowler. We just cleaned him up. I said I would have put him in the car park.
They've all got Google, Bill.
Well, they won't know, would they? They won't know how bad I was. Yeah. So I can tell them what I would have done to that bowler. I would have, you know, put him in the car park.
When my kids grow up, I'm going to tell them you were in Zaman ul Haq.
He's averaged 50, didn't he?
Exactly, yeah.
He was a leader of men as well.
He was, and he's got one of the best dismissals I've ever seen in Test cricket, when Monty bowled him that long off and he tried to pull it and fell on the stumps.
He's knob at the stumps, isn't
it? Flicked the bow off, didn't it?
No, but I quite like coming over and just telling everyone how good I was. And what I would have done to that bowling attack, and how shit the cricket is.
Well, that's what happens, isn't it?
Having a couple of drinks.
How many sherbet deep are you when you're giving
He's had one Bex Blue, mate, in his opinion.
No, nothing, mate. No. I'm stone cold. I'm doing this. I'm not under the influence. So, no, I'm doing this stone cold. So I think I've even taken a few wickets.
So is that where you're at in your career? Then you've gone past the stage of, I suppose, the real want of and hunger of donning the whites again, and now you're just content with telling everyone how good you were.
Yeah, I think that works best for me now.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, moving on. Actually, before we move on, has anyone noticed, like, with all the 2020 cricket going on, there's the CPL and we've got the Vitality Blast or whatever. A lot of players are choosing to wear their hats whilst bowling.
Well, pros.
Pros. All right.
Really?
So last week, Ben Duckett wore a floppy. Bearing in mind he's a keeper, he wore a floppy hat with his bins on, bowling off spin. And I think he bowled one over for 15. And then yesterday, another bloke for Lancashire bowled with his hat backwards. No, hat forwards, got hit for four, turned it round and bowled it with it backwards. What are our thoughts on this?
They're just taking the piss, aren't they? Because there's absolutely no point to the season. So they're just having a laugh. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter, does it? Not about the hat situation. I'm saying the cricket. It's absolutely pointless. It's a void of a season.
I still think...
It's not pointless, Phil. I think...
it's still first-class cricket.
It's been quite a good viewing.
Yeah, I've loved the cricket. The cricket's been brilliant. Some of the best test matches we've been lucky enough to see. But the 2020 thing, though... Of course there's stuff to play for, because these guys can get IPL gigs, they can... That's what they want. They all want to travel the world earning a load of cash.
Yeah, but nobody's getting in the gaff. There's no crowds there. It's just sterile.
There's not really crowds anyway, like, at county games.
There is for the one-day T20 stuff, isn't
there? I doubt either of you will know this. Why are they all being played at Headingley?
Because they've got a hotel there.
What, is every team in a bubble there?
No, so like that's why they played at Southampton as well, because they've got hotels on site.
Yeah. No, I understand that for England and that, but every team, they're playing all their games at Headingley.
What do you mean every team?
Well, it was I can't remember it was now, but I think it was Durham Leicester. That was at Headingley.
Oh right, I'm not sure actually, because I saw that Essex are playing Kent at the Oval on Saturday. So there's obviously something to do with the bigger grounds. Maybe something to do with Sky, I don't know.
All right, no, well, I know Surrey they're letting fans in, 3,000 fans.
Oh, maybe that's why then, because they've got a big enough...
Maybe they're going to try.
You're not going to get 3,000 in at Chelmsford, are you? So that makes sense that if they play at the Oval.
3,000 at Chelmsford would be the record attendance, Alf, wouldn't it?
Would, yeah. Yeah.
lads, did we see on the telly the other day the... the two Pakistan fans at the train station.
No.
All in Pakistan, at Old Trafford train station.
No.
One had a hooter and the other one had the set of drums.
All right. Where are we going
they
with
playing, this? No, I'm just saying, like, they obviously weren't allowed in the ground, but they were. So the train station is literally behind the ground, and they were supporting Pakistan from the train station.
That's
strong dedication.
That is strong dedication, yeah.
Should we do that for Essex?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'll meet you there.
Why don't you break your quarantine now? Take £1,000 fine.
To have a VUVU.
Get yourself a set of bongos, yeah?
You bring the VUVUzela.
I've already got one.
All right, perfect.
We'll go down to Chelmsford train station.
You get on my shoulders.
Or Essex.
Yeah, that sounds...
or Kennington station or Oval station. We'll support Essex on Saturday.
I'll bring a stepladder.
Let's do it.
Sounds like a plan. I'm looking forward to it.
Done. Like Max and Paddy.
To be fair, you do look like Maxwell. Phil, sorry. Fuck you.
Yeah. Boys, we've had the recent England-Pakistan series. There's one important thing that it seems to crop up once a year or once every couple of years when we play them. And it's always to do with a birth certificate or age. What are our thoughts on Nazim Shah?
Or cheating.
Cheating, yeah. Nazim Shah's actual age here. Do we honestly think he's 17? And he was
first of all, Phil, do you know who that is?
Yeah, it's the young Pakistani opener.
Well, that's debatable if he's young.
We're watching the tests. He's a good little bowler, actually, isn't he?
Yeah.
Very good little bowler.
Well, he's not little, mate, is he? I've never seen a 17-year-old with a body like that.
He's probably about 19.
Yeah, he's got a young face, but he's certainly not 17.
And he's well developed, isn't he?
He debuted when he was 16, or debuted for the Australian listeners. 16, bowling 150 clicks or 94 mile an hour, whatever it is. Probably not.
Can the human body, not the adult body? Can like a kid's body bowl 150 kilometers an hour?
I don't know.
Is that possible?
I don't know. I don't deal with kids, Billy.
When you're 18, Bill, you could shag like the clappers, couldn't you? I'm sure you can bowl.
It's the same thing, I suppose, isn't it?
But you had to come off after 7 overs.
Yeah,
I have to
finish out after 7 minutes. I just don't think it's physically possible for a 16-year-old to be able to bowl 30 overs in a test match innings.
He says from his sofa eating Doritos.
bowling 90 miles an hour, I just don't think it's possible.
We all know it's not possible. We all know it's not possible, Billy.
How old is he?
In fact, actually, I'm just about to counter-argument here. I think it is possible because Pat Cummins made his debut at 17 and he was bowling the same pace against South Africa. And it'd be a lot harder for him to forge his birth certificate in Australia.
Yeah, but then he spent the next 10 years out injured.
Yeah, but it is possible.
He's flying. He's played every game, Nassim Shah. He's not injured.
No, yeah. Well, probably... I'd be surprised if he's 17. But the other one that... is more interesting is Iftikhar Ahmed, right? Has anyone seen Iftikhar?
Yeah.
Have you seen him, Phil?
Phil, you haven't seen him. Yeah, no. You saw the picture that Abby put on the group.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
He is not 29 years old.
He's older than me.
Him and Rashid Khan have had the longest paper round. he's 100. He could be 100.
If I looked at that and I was... looked at that picture and I had to estimate an age, I'd be pushing 40.
It's definitely 40.
That's being kind to him. There's some good lighting there. I think David Bailey's been on the case, his photo there, because there's some good lighting. There's some good airbrushing there. Obviously, with most Asian lads who have gone past 30, they get the old black hair dye out, the boot polish, and he's made himself look as young as possible, but he's no way he's under 40 years old.
I think his kids are pretty much through college, I would say.
Grandkids.
What do you reckon, Phil? He looks a bit younger than you, to be fair.
Hey, mate, I've got all the good lighting today. I'm on a detox until I go to Spain on September the 18th. I might actually come back worse off, not through alcohol, but coronavirus by the looks of it. But that's another story for another time.
Golfing holiday, Phil?
Golfing holiday, mate, in a hazmat suit, I think, at this rate. Nice. But yeah, no, another thing I wanted to mention while we're on the subject of Afghanistani cricketers, or Afghanistani, that's the correct term, isn't it? Did you see that geezer in the Caribbean Premier League play that ridiculous flick reverse?
I did see that, actually.
Yeah, that was a dirty shot. That was a dirty shot.
Absolute filth, wasn't it?
Mate, I'll tell you what, I'd pay a lot of money for that bat.
No, yeah.
Do you know what I'm really enjoying as well? The no-look six, you know, the head down, just whipped over a square leg and they don't look at the ball, just look straight at the floor.
I've always said that is like, you can't get any more sort of alpha male than that. You don't even bother to look at it, see how far that's gone. Did he look that geezer when he flicked it for six?
I don't think he did, mate. What shot, how do you describe the shot? Is it called?
I reckon
I reckon
it's one of them where you're at the pub, right, and you're having a pint and a packet of crisps, right?
I don't think he was at the pub, Bill.
Well, I'm just saying how I described that shot, yeah. And then you get up and then you got all a few little crumbs on your thigh and that, and then you go to wipe them off, yeah. That is what he's done. He's wiped the crumb off his leg, yeah, and he's flicked it out of the ground.
When you've had a bucket full of popcorn in the Odeon and fallen asleep.
Yeah, and then you get up and you just flick it, didn't you?
There was a good one from Tom Banton as well at Lancashire this weekend, wasn't there?
That's stock standard for him, though. Mate. He just gets under him, doesn't he?
He is such a good player.
On the Test match topic, did anyone see Anderson's four drop catches off his bowling in the space of about 20 minutes?
Fuming.
Yeah. How do you reckon you would have coped with that, Phil? Had you been Anderson on 599?
That's the question I've been asking myself since I saw it. Actually,
how would you react?
How would Phil react?
Oh right.
I don't know because I think being on 696. Test wickets at the time.
696. What he's got? He's got another 96.
596. 596. He probably wasn't. He probably wasn't that arse. You'd find it funny, wouldn't you? You'd find it funny.
Phil, we're talking about you here, right? You're on 10 first team wickets ever. You would lose the shit, mate. Get 600 test wickets.
I'd just be happy to be there, Bill.
No, you wouldn't, mate. I've seen you do it. I've seen you nearly get banned.
I've seen you try and decapitate an umpire for widening you.
No. I'm sure he was absolutely fuming, but he got there in the end. I mean, he backs himself, doesn't he? He knows he's good enough. I mean, I know at the
start... He's good enough to get the edge.
Well, yeah, but they should be good enough to catch it, obviously. But I did actually come out and say I thought Jimmy Anderson might have been finished, and I just want to take that back because clearly I've never been... wronger.
We all took notice of that, Phil.
Yeah.
Your superior cricket knowledge.
I think that's why he carried on. Because he must have heard
He was getting a few little niggles, wasn't he? And when you start picking up little niggles at our age, you think he's a couple of years older than me, but once you start picking up little niggles, they tend to compound, don't they?
Well, one thing I would say on him is that he, this summer... bowled the quickest he's ever bowled for the last, I reckon, 6 or 7 years. He was constantly at 85 mile an hour, and it actually looked like zippy for once.
Maybe he's been on the juice. Do you reckon he's been juicing up because there's no drug test because of COVID?
Yeah, that could be. That's a great shout, actually. Yeah, it's a brilliant point.
Who do we think in world cricket, past or present, would have reacted the worst to four drop catches?
Curly Ambrose.
Curly
Ambrose
right,
would have lost his shit.
Curly Ambrose, no, he never said that much on the pitch.
I reckon Steve Kirby's up there.
Kirby. What about Gareth Batty?
Oh, fucking hell. If I was in Gareth Batty's team, I would drop every single catch. Like, he should never take a wicket. He is a massive tosser. He's got to be the biggest tosser in world cricket. I put him above David Warner, actually.
Why is he a bellender?
Look at him, he just looks like a big bollock.
He bowls off spin as well. He's
just an angry little man.
Angry little ginger, bowling off spin.
Bowls like fucking pies. Just a shit off spinner.
He chirps about him, yeah. He's not like a big quick bowler to come down and send down a big bouncer. He bowls a little off spinner. So I'm going to do you, the old top spinner now.
Yeah. He looks like Ingvell's dad.
He's just an aggressive Shermanator.
Andre Nell?
Yeah, Andre Nell I'd like to have seen. The best thing was, actually, Zach Crawley, after the third one, I think, who was it, Sibley put it down. You could see Crawley laughing. And Anson just turned.
He wanted to laugh. Nervous laugh.
It was a proper nervous laugh. And then Stuart Broad's one was the icing on the cake, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, he's running out. He hit the wicket.
That's hit him on his elbow. He was so far away from it.
But he lost it before the ball had touched the ground. You see his hands. He threw his hands up. What have I done? Before the ball even hit the ground.
Throw has got to be the luckiest throw to ever take a peg out. He just threw it in the general direction. It could have gone anywhere. But I thought Anderson took it pretty well, to be honest. And if he'd have been left on 599, it would have been pretty sad not knowing when his next test match is going to be.
Do you think Broad will overtake Anderson?
Yes.
By 2 wickets?
By 1 would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
He's quite a bit younger. He's like 33, 34.
Well, Broad don't have kids, does he? Anderson does have children, but it sounds like he's going to carry on. Also, Darren Stevens has just signed another year's contract. He's playing until he's 45, or he's turning 45 during that contract. So I don't see why Broad doesn't play for another 4-5 years.
Well, Broad's more likely to play abroad, though, isn't he?
Yeah. He's just Anderson. Got that little bit more going for him height-wise. And I don't think he's got... occasionally he gets it up there, doesn't he? But he don't need as much pace as the rest of them if they're going to be surrounded by Archer, Wood and Co, Stone.
Like, if he goes to Australia, you're probably looking at Broad playing Brisbane, where it bounces a bit more. He might get left. He might be left out at Adelaide, and Anson come in for him at Adelaide for day-nighter. Then you got Perth. You'd think Broad will play at Perth. Anson won't. And then Melbourne, it doesn't matter who you fucking play at Melbourne, it is going to be a draw there. 800 plays 800. No one's going to get any wickets there. And then you've got Sydney, where you'll probably play 2 spinners.
Well, we ain't got 2 spinners, mate.
Well, then one of them will have to play, won't they?
Yeah. Do you know what's sad, actually? It's just come to me. Is reverse swing's gone, isn't it? Which is...
We can't shine the ball, can
you? Not just that. Just since since the cameras got better, basically, and you can't cheat. You go back to, I suppose, when I first started watching cricket, 2005, we cheated. The ball hooped around corners. You look at some of the, which we have been able to do, some of the highlights from like the 80s all the way through to the early 2000s. The ball fucking hoops. And after 20 overs, goes the other way.
I don't know. Do you remember when India came over a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
The ball went miles that series. Mohammed Shami,
Bumrah.
All our bowlers, Bumrah, the ball went miles that year. And with 2005, they said it was a batch of balls.
Bollocks, was it a batch of balls, mate? We all know how to make the ball reverse swing.
They used a batch from 2002 or 2003 where they say it swung miles.
Good year, was it?
That's what they say, yeah. Vintage. Yeah, vintage
yeah. get some of that in the cellar. But why aren't they replicating that ball? Brilliant. With reverse swing in cricket is fantastic, but when it doesn't fucking do anything, it is so boring.
The science of swing bowling is one of life's great mysteries.
Well, no, it's not. You cheat and you can do it. You scratch one side up and smash it on the concrete, and the other side you keep shiny and it will reverse swing.
Well, fair enough. End of it now.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Do you not remember taping up the tennis ball when you were a kid in the nets and getting it to swing loads?
Exactly. It's exactly the same thing.
Taping one side.
That's it.
Got it, really.
Yeah, it's been not shining the ball, right? Having to wash your hands. I know this is all for the right reasons. Don't shoot me down for it. But, you know, washing your hands every 6 overs, no showering after the game, everybody stinks, you have to have a beer outside the clubhouse, it's absolutely wank.
It's fucking annoying, isn't it? Well, it takes one person to stink, and the whole fucking clubhouse stinks.
We're not allowed in the clubhouse, we're not allowed in ours,
no,
we have to drink outside.
Yeah, nor are we, mate.
We're not, no.
we have to drink outside. And the first day they had us all back, you had to text a number to register and you had to place your drinks orders and then they bring them to you. Or bring them to a table and you went and collected them. So it's all right, but it's taken about 40% of the enjoyment out of cricket for me, I'd say.
Yeah, golf's a lot more interesting at the moment, to be honest.
It is,
mate. I actually think we've been quite lucky with the cricket. I've only played 4 games, but I have actually enjoyed it. The whole ball shining thing, it doesn't bother me because the standard of cricket we play, it doesn't really make a fucking difference. Yeah, it's just nice to get out there, isn't it? Take a few high balls, tell everyone how good you were, and sit and have a yarn afterwards. Isn't that right, Bill?
That's it. All right, lads, how good is Zach Crawley?
Very,
267.
Yeah, that's no mean feat, is it?
Should have got 300, though, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he should have.
Well,
yeah,
well, He's shit then, actually.
Put him back on ice. Put him back on ice with those 2002 pellets.
In all honesty, how good is he? Is he going to be our number 3? Is he going to open? Will he score runs against Australia? Or will he be another Rob Key who scored 220 against West Indies and then averaged 20-something for his career and never played again?
I think that the bowling attack that Crawley scored that against is fucking good. The ball was moving. It moved.
And conditions, yeah.
It moved a lot. He just looks like a really... really solid player, doesn't he? He's good on the short ball.
50 for 3 as well. 50 for 4.
Yeah, he's good on the short ball. He doesn't always play it, which is good. It will help him in Australia. He's tall, punches the ball nicely. There doesn't really seem to be any... there's no moving parts, which is always a good sign for a test cricketer. Whereas you look at someone like Rory Burns, when he's not in nick, which he isn't at the moment... there's a few moving parts and he just gets himself in a bit of a tangle. When the ball nips, which having Mohammed Abbas and Shane Afridi, you're going to struggle, aren't you? Especially at the top of the order. So maybe he does end up opening eventually, and maybe because they do want to squeeze Dan Lawrence in there somehow. That's what it seems to be at the moment. And he is smashing the door down. So I don't know, but it's too early to get rid of... you can't get rid of Sibley and Burns, I thought.
No, not at all, no. I'm just...
But
I'm
it's
just
good to have the competition, I'd suggest.
You probably are... The way England seem to go, or definitely with their bowling attack, is they're looking at horses for courses.
Yeah.
And you can probably apply that to the batting lineup. I mean, I would not want to see Dominic Sibley bat in India.
Absolutely not.
One against spin and one at the rate he goes at. I won't be getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning... see England bat first and Sibley opening the batting, who hasn't got one attacking shot to spin bowling. Potentially he could come in and open the batting in the subcontinent and you leave Sibley out just because he is shit at playing spin.
Yeah, I can't see him play. He'd have to improve drastically, which he's not going to. He's 28 years old, isn't he? So, maybe he's not that old. But still, you're not going to learn how to play top quality spin within 3 or 4 months, are you? To the extent that he's going to need it. Like, there's people like Keaton Jennings who's a much better player of spin than him.
I'm not having him being a good player of spin, to be honest.
On the real, Bill. On the real.
I knew that was
so easy.
Fuck off, Bill.
But also, India have got the... arguably one of the best seam bowling attacks in the world.
You're right there. So they might not produce bunting burning pitches. They might produce seamer friendly pitches. So, yeah. Well, right there, Ralph.
But obviously it's going to turn square day one. And, Sibley can't play. He can't play in Sri Lanka. He can't play in India. I hope he proves us wrong if he gets a chance.
Is that Crawley's dad, John Crawley?
I don't know, Bill.
I don't know.
No, I'm not sure.
It looks a bit like him.
Who's John Crawley?
You won't remember. Phil, you know John Crawley, isn't he? He played for Lancashire.
I do, yeah. I'm gonna Google it.
Have a look.
Is it a joke?
Al, do you remember the bat brand? P.S.
He's not related.
P.S.
All right.
No, D.P.
John Crawley
I remember D.P.
brought the bat brand P.S. to prominence.
What's it stand for?
I don't know.
Peak Sports.
Pulshot.
Peak Sports.
Is that a northern brand, is it?
Don't see them a lot up here, they're more Lancashire way.
Yes, that's a northern brand. Derbyshire.
Yeah. I think Peak Sports is actually up in the Peaks. It's up Buxton way, Derbyshire.
All right.
That's brilliant. What do we think about Butler's return to form? Billy, you must have an opinion on this.
Shut me up, innit?
I think he shut us all up, to be honest. But I suppose you give someone as many...
Let's have it right, mate. He's still fucking shelling catches.
Yeah, he might be scoring runs,
but he's still fucking shelling catches. And don't get me wrong, he took a couple of blinders. That one down the leg side.
Oh, mate. The one-handed dive.
Yeah, I mean, forget about the dive. Like, that's not... He grabbed it with two fingers, yeah, held on to it. And then on the way down, cupped it into his palm. Like,
stop him dropping it at the deck.
Are we talking about a cricket ball here?
Oh, yeah. I've set a plum. But brilliant catch. But for me, keeping has been average at best.
I think that's a little harsh. I don't think he's been completely average. The one that he...
Yeah, well, look at the fucking mess Dowridge made of it, Bill. So it's not been easy to do, has it? Dowridge made a right fucking mess of it.
Yeah, but Dowridge is not like...
Yeah, but he's not...
We can't compare him to Shane Dowridge. He's not on
Butler's level, really. Yeah. But he's been bang average. He's been... He has been bang average. Like, yeah, he's taken a few good catches. Good catch off Dominic Best. But for me, as a keeper, I've watched him. I'm not comfortable with him keeping wicket, to be honest. I think
he's a lot better bat than Ben Folkes at that level. Is that what we're saying? So
the last few games he has, but up to that, like, let's see him do it consistently.
Yeah, well, that innings.
We can all go through a nice vein of form, and when there's no crowd in, you know, the pressure's off you a little bit.
So, Bill, what's the tipping point then? How many more...
Mate, he's got another year now.
How many more catches or victims do you think Folkes would take, i.e. buy you wickets because of his keeping, as opposed to the runs that the extra runs Butler will get? Who's the better option in your eye? Or your mind, sorry.
At the moment, you stick with Butler because he is scoring runs, and you can only hope that, you know, like he done with his batting, he improves his keeping. You know, he improved a hell of a lot from... in the last test match that he did for the second test match. So you only hope that he gets better, and you obviously go with him at the moment because he's the man in possession, he's scored runs. But I've always been like a purist with keeping. I want my keeper to catch the ball first and foremost. And then, you know, if he gets runs, happy day, especially at number seven.
It's interesting, really, because going to India, that's when it's going to be, or going to the subcontinent, 100%. Wherever they're going, that's when it's going to be, the spotlight's going to be on the keeper. It always is. It's like, tough. If you nick off in the first cup, if you don't score any runs in the first test, and then your glove work, it's going to be important, extremely important. And we're not going to create as many chances as they are
exactly.
Because we haven't got better spinners.
The Duke's ball would always do something and create chances for 50, 60 overs, yeah? But in India, if you drop a catch, you drop Kohli on 10, he'd get 300.
Yeah, yeah.
And that could be the difference. Probably not so much over here, like I said, because there's more chances. But, you know, when he dropped Dowridge down the leg side in the first test match, or the only test we lost against West Indies, that probably would have made the difference if we'd have caught that. We probably would have won the game.
Also, let's make no mistake, with that, with Wokes in that first test against Pakistan, had there been a crowd there, that would have been one of the greatest, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, that was a really... I'll tell you, all the test matches have been top draw this summer.
Yeah, pitches have been good.
They have. I think testament to the sides that have come over as well. I mean, I wasn't expecting the West Indies to be as enjoyable as it was. And I personally love Pakistan England. It's probably my second favourite after the Ashes. I love watching Pakistan in England, just the way that they play and how sort of animated they are. But they've been fantastic. I've missed the keeper who just squeals until he gets a...
He is one of the best keepers I've ever seen.
There's a gloveman. I mean, what has happened to the keeper standing up to the stumps?
Mohamed Abbas, right? Second over of the game, Mohamed Abbas steaming in and keeper up. That is what you want to see. That makes you feel good on a Saturday when you're playing in your shit club side.
Was he wearing a lid, Bill? I can't remember if he had a lid on.
Yeah, he had the lid on.
That reminded me of? That reminded me of Lenny Daniels and Billy Rank after the stumps.
It was exactly the same, Bill. Yeah.
New nut, seeming all over the place.
Yeah, Billy in his element.
That's it, chirping away.
Yeah, like a pig in shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I saw something on Twitter, though, because when Rizwan was keeping up, they did a little montage of Jack Russell keeping up, because he used to do it to the quick bowlers, and it made me realise how much of a fucking keeper Jack Russell was.
Oh.
Some leg-side stumpings.
Oh, some moody wickets they played on back in the day as well, like the ball shooting.
The best ever.
But nice.
Keep your Bob Taylors and your fucking all the old farts in the 70s. Like, game's different. Game's different. I've never seen a leg side stumping in the 70s. Have you?
No.
No.
Have you seen any footage of a leg side stumping in the 70s?
No, not that I've been looking out for it, but...
No, but I've never seen it in all the years I've been watching cricket. All the rain delay footage that they put on. Never seen a keeper take a stumping pre... 90s.
I'll tell you what,
all these keepers, all these old farts on the TV say they're the best ever. Bollocks.
Show me a leg side stumping. Play in about the 60s or 70s, the 70s or something, didn't they? So can you imagine trying to keep on the minefield that must have been in the 50s and 60s?
So yeah. they couldn't crouch down to stand up to the stumps back then because they fucking used batting pads.
and collared shirts. Work shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
TM Lewin.
Exactly.
Okay, been down to pink for a new cricket top.
Yeah.
Boys, what? Australia are in town now. They've flown over. They're probably mid isolation, playing Xbox, doing some weird shit. What are our thoughts on Australia coming over? What's that series going
to
be like?
Well, whatever that song is that they're all dancing to in the gym, Alf, I need to know what the track is because it's an absolute banger. They look like they're having a great time in there, didn't they? Although I wasn't too sure about Adam Zampa's dancing.
Hey, 5 a.m. 5 a.m. in your ma's kitchen. Nah.
They're all in the gym having a little bop to some tunes. They've obviously don't realise the camera's on them. It's quite funny.
It's on Instagram, Bill. I think you'll like it, actually. Adam Zampa's wearing a vest, a singlet, as they call it. He's got a mullet,
The
earring on. Him and Marcus Stoinis.
Proper mullet. Is he a proper mullet? Shaved at the sides?
No, it's completely straight.
No, it's straight. Yeah. I can't explain it. You'd be able to describe it better than me.
Really
Who's
cool.
the big geezer dancing then? Is that one of the seamers?
Mitchell Marsh?
Is that Mitchell Marsh, is it?
Yeah, what I'd say is, actually, this is... this is on topic. Like, do you think that Mitchell Marsh is living proof that being a good bloke can get you 50 plus international appearances? Because I don't think there's ever been another bloke who's played cricket, or especially in my lifetime, who has just managed to blag his way to the top for being a good bloke. Has this happened in your careers, cricket-wise?
Well, you always need, like, at our level of cricket, you don't have the top six bat, keeper at seven, then you have four bowlers. You don't have that. You always have an opening bat who'll bowl you off spin. You'll have your number five will open the bowling. Your number three will be your medium pacer. So you always need a bloke to come in and bat number eight and not bowl. No one's going to do that unless they're a nice bloke because you've got to pay for that privilege, haven't you?
So you've never done it.
I'm batting
at eight and not bowl, but I'm definitely not a nice bloke, so I must be the exception, Bill.
There's always an exception.
Have you really? You've taken that on board, have you? You said, yeah, no, I skip. I'll do that number eight role and pay £20 for the privilege.
Yeah, for a while until I started focusing on my batting and I wasn't bowling. I was fucking batting at eight and not bowling, mate. I hated it. But, it's horrible, Bill. It's horrible. You just look at yourself in the mirror and you think, am I worthless?
Yeah.
I actually did it for a couple of years. I was happy to do it every away game, and then I realised I was being abused. And I think it did take a year and a half, 2 years before I realised I'm turning up here, I'm bowling one over, and I'm not batting, and everyone else seems to be having a lovely time.
I might have done that to you, Alf, actually, on Sunday. Got you in fat eight, put my arm around your shoulder and go, you're doing a big job for me today, Alf. You're doing a sterling effort.
I think you did, yeah. Which shaped me into the person I am today, Bill.
And
I bought you
a poke as well.
Yeah, you did actually, half. I think it was a half. Yeah.
And then collected your subs off your dad.
Fiverr, wasn't it? Fiverr back in the day. Thanks for the tea.
Yeah, that's it.
Do we think that Australians go above and beyond to be rare? Do you think
looking at that video of them dancing, I would say it's
they natural. Definitely try hard to make an impact. Yeah, definitely. It doesn't come naturally for them. Like, they have to do stupid stuff like grow a mullet or grow a moustache. Yeah. It don't come naturally. They have to try and do that just to make an impression.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of weirdos, isn't it? Like, really. Like, some people are just like naturally, like Monty Panesar, he's not trying hard to be rare, but he is. But I think like Zampa, I don't know, all the other mugs who grow tashes in Australia and wear fucking charity shop clothes. Like, they all just a big act to try hard.
Yeah,
and it's pathetic.
And I think it's even more so when they wander over here. It's just,
well, yeah, exactly. You just think, who's this knob? Like, you know, you go to Shoreditch and Hackney. Yeah, you got people walking around with like Sony tape players and stuff.
But you're joking.
It's almost natural for them. Yeah, it's always, but Australia, like Australians, they come over and they try and imitate that, and it's pathetic.
So what you're saying is they do go above and beyond to be rare.
Yeah, of course they are.
Who do you think's the rarest bloke in world cricket, past and present?
Monty Panesar.
Monty Panesar, without a doubt, he is one of the rarest.
I was playing that cricket captain 2020 at the start of the year, which is a mobile like management game for those who don't know. Start of the year, Monty Panesar's on there as a free transfer. You can actually sign him. Is he still available to play?
He has tried to make himself available to play county cricket. He actually he put it out.
Him or Bradley Wadland, and I went for Bradley Wadland, mate.
Who's
He's a better player.
Wadland?
What is he? He plays for Cornwall.
I think he might be the rarest bloke in world cricket. Who the fuck is Bradley Wadland?
He plays for who? He plays for
a minor county spinner, but he's quite a good player.
Oh, sorry, Phil.
But Monty's still trying to get a gig by the looks of it, mate. That ship sailed, hadn't it, a long time ago.
Monty's absolutely brilliant. That mastermind 2-minute clip has got to be the best clip.
That is not an act.
Yeah, you can't fake that.
If anyone's not seen it, just Google YouTube Monty Panesar mastermind. It is gold. And you're just sitting there watching it, like thinking. What is going on here? Is he acting up? But he's definitely not acting there. He might be doing a little bit of playing up. After a couple of answers, he does let out a little smirk.
The Oliver Twist answer is one of the best.
His mum and dad probably wanted him to be a doctor until he did his first ABCs and thought, yeah, it's not going to happen. He'll have to be a sportsman.
Well, he's got the fingers, though, hasn't he? Have you ever shook his hand? He's got the biggest fingers.
The G fingers. Have you met Monty Panesar?
I played against him a few times. Once at the top of his mark, his shoulders were going. I don't think a ball had been bowled, and he was just laughing, and he couldn't bowl. He was just laughing at the top of his mark, and no one really knew why. And it took him like 2 or 3 minutes to calm down before he could bowl the first ball.
He got a few issues going on.
So you like this? When he was playing. When he was playing, I don't know whether it's grey cricket or cricket over here, he had his eye watch on, and it was a pretty flat pitch, pretty flat wicket, and he asked Siri if he should be bowling on this pitch.
There must be so many Monty anecdotes. We need to get him on.
We need to get him on, Alf. You've got. Can you not get him on to a podcast? He loves a podcast as well, doesn't he?
I genuinely think if we tweeted him, he would come on.
Should we recreate a mastermind?
Yeah.
Give him 2 minutes.
Alf, do you remember when he came over to to play against us for Hornchurch, and he was going on Celebrity MasterChef.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and he was going to practice by doing a big curry for at the club at Chingford's, but he only bought enough ingredients for three people.
He actually cooked us a roast dinner after one of the game in that season, but their home game, and he was practicing for MasterChef as well. And there was 20, 25 people there. I reckon I had one spud, the tiniest bit of gravy, and a Yorkshire pudding.
To be fair to Hornchurch, though, they're up there with the best teas I've ever had.
They are. It's a good spread.
Teas, yeah, mate. They've got Lord's covered, I reckon. No expense spared there.
Chili con carne and chicken curry, Bill, last time I remember being there, and it was brilliant.
I didn't fill my boots actually last time. I was opening the batting, so I couldn't do it.
So you filled your boots afterwards?
I wish I bought one. You know, one of them Chinese plastic containers. I wish I bought one of them and just done myself a little
snack
buffet and wedge the old lid back on
with a little little plastic fork in the pocket.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, good spread.
Brilliant spread. Right, boys, this moves us on to the questions. We've got a couple today. One's Mark from Twitter. Hey, chaps. What are your thoughts on warming up in a vest / singlet rather than the traditional training shirt? So what's the criteria for this, really? Do you have to have pipes?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like just better out of fashion now, mate. You look like a bell end wearing a vest.
Well, no, you've got a set of pipes on you, mate.
Still screams bell end, though, doesn't it? I look at him and I think, just put a t-shirt on, mate.
Paul Collingwood wears one, doesn't he?
Yeah, but is that because you haven't got the same arms as him, though, Phil?
I'm all right, Phil, to be fair, but...
Let's have a look.
I don't know if you can see him, can you?
I can see
it. Ooh, maybe a t-shirt that, for you,
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah. Keep that t-shirt on, Phil.
Long sleeve. Well,
I tell you what, you've been wearing a long sleeve t-shirt all summer. Because your fucking arms are whiter than your walls.
Hey, I'm Glaswegian by birth, aren't I? You can't see them, really, when they're held up against the wall. You can't tell.
No, yeah, where's your arm gone?
But, I've been wearing me fucking those Under Armours. I always forget when you wear the Under Armours, you don't get a tan, do you, when you're out?
Not funny that, Phil.
No good, are they? But
So vest,
yeah, no,
yes or no?
Vest, no.
Billy,
no,
you've been partial to a vest.
Have I?
Yeah, you definitely have. Because I remember going out with you once, and I think you were wearing a denim jacket, and underneath you were wearing a vest. And it was fucking hot, and you couldn't take it off because you were wearing a vest.
Was that my George Michael days?
It was, yes. Yeah.
I bet he had rosary beads on as well, Alf, at the time, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
I might have done, yeah. They'll be in fashion up I'm North Soon, Phil.
So, Bill, would you don a vest?
Well, seriously.
As in, like, for warm-up or training? Cricket warm-up? Hot day, bins on. Yeah.
What sort of vest are we talking? Club vest?
Club vest,
or
yeah, club
just
vest.
My own Nike vest or like white vest? White t-shirt?
No, not a wife beater, mate.
I'd rock a club one, definitely. Club,
what, even with your Chinese symbol tattoo?
That's been removed. It's been removed.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, it faded. It's gone. Only last 15 years.
So, Mark, I would suggest that unless you've got massive pipes, then don't wear a vest. If you unless you're comfortable in your own skin and you don't give a shit what anyone else thinks, then wear one.
Well, I think it's bold from the club as well to have a range of vests in the training wear.
Well, it's not the club, is it? It's the it's the company, like Allrounder, who will supply the vest, and they want to cater for everyone.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but the club have got a commission, a design for a vest.
True, yeah. I think it's just a standard design, though, Bill, just the logo and maybe a sponsor that goes on all of them. I personally haven't got a vest. I did have
would
a
you
vest.
Not, would, Alf, would you wear one?
Not in this country.
You've got some rare tattoos to be put on show. Would you be comfortable wearing a vest?
No, I certainly wouldn't be wearing a vest at the tender age of 29. Maybe when I was 21.
We're just talking off the podcast, and Alf, you're going to get my batting average tattooed on your arm.
I am, yep. Yeah. I've got a small space for it.
On the inside?
Wherever you want it, Billy, I'll get it.
My career batting average.
Yeah, and the highest score.
56.5, I think it is.
What about your average?
You're getting my second team average. You're getting my second team average from 2002.
Okay, well, 56.5 and
a highest score of 133 not out that year.
Fucking hell.
So you can get all that.
What was that bank holiday weekend?
No, it was against Onga. It was against Onga.
Good side.
Yeah, they've
Onga Richard III. Right, Mark, I hope we've answered that question. Don't wear a vest unless you're a nonce. Reese from Twitter. Well,
unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Reese from Twitter. A teammate and I were having a debate on what we thought was the most alpha fielding position. Can you guys settle this once and for all? He hasn't good actually question. Given me the fielding position, so I suppose he just wants us to discuss it.
Good short
mid-wicket, mate. Because the long ops coming straight through your grill. I've had one through the grill there.
But yeah, but you just beated yourself by wearing a grill.
That's where the bravest men stand, mate, because a long op can come straight at your head.
It doesn't... alpha doesn't necessarily mean brave.
Yeah, you're stupid.
There's a fine line between bravery and stupidity.
On this point, I would say that the bravery position would be silly mid-off to silly point, no lid... Ricky Ponting-esque when he used to scoop him up off Shane Warne. I would say that's the bravery alpha position, and the stupid one where the kid gets put or the idiot with no lid goes on the leg side, because the leg side is where you get mullered.
To be fair, that Ricky Ponting at silly point, Matt Pryor was batting, he's played a drive, he's hit the ground, gone straight into Ponting's face.
And he didn't move, did he?
Taken half his lip off, he wiped his mouth, spat the blood out and the bit of lip off to the side, and Pryor said, "You're right, mate." He went, "Fuck off," and then just got down in his position again.
So that is the most alpha position to be able to do that.
That's the most alpha move I've seen. there's plenty of sort of Graham Smith at first slip.
Yeah, Jack Callis at second slip is pretty alpha. It's the way that you carry yourself in the position as well. There's no point in being at first slip if you're shelling them and you look like you shouldn't be there. I don't know, someone who stands at first slip who doesn't say much but stares quite well and has got buckets for hands, I'd say
and
that's
just grabs them.
That's
comes
pretty alpha.
Just grabs them. Don't celebrate.
Yeah.
That's callous all day long.
Can you be alpha in the deep or in a ring? I don't know, like swooping at extra cover's not that alpha, is it? It's more the standing still close to the bat. Fast reflexes, but
what about the geezer who stands at short mid off just off the wicket and just stares at the batsman as the ball comes over his right shoulder?
Again,
short mid off.
Yeah, when you have somebody just off the wicket, just basically
on the drive.
Silly mid off. Oh, sure.
Literally 1 foot on the track almost.
Oh no! I think that is
a fielding position that has been spawned from watching repeats of the 2005 Ashes, where
Hayden and
Michael Vaughan stuck Andrew Strauss there for Matthew Hayden against Hoggard, and ever since then, I've never seen a catch taken there.
Yeah, that's just one of their. All it does, right, as a batsman, as a non-striker batsman, that's the only thing it's for. It pisses them off because you have to go wider.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just a shit position. What about the most?
Yeah, it does get in your head though when people are all around the bat, doesn't it? It does piss you off when you're batting.
What about what's the most beta position then? So we've got, I'd say we've got silly point and first slip as the most alpha.
Yeah, but do you think I was just thinking
fine leg's important.
I tell you what, Shoaib Akhtar down at fine leg is pretty alpha.
Yeah,
he's got probably 4 12 men down there, giving him drinks, holding his jumpers,
toweling him off,
tightening up his spikes, and also when the ball does go a little leg lance off the batsman's five head down there, he don't run.
No,
that's pretty alpha move, not to chase the ball.
What about sticking your boot on it? Do you reckon that's alpha?
Or is that's fucking amateur.
or when you stand there at first slip as the ball goes through second slip and you just turn and watch and point for someone to go and get it.
No, or you dive.
Or you
dive and then dive after and then you have to go and get it. I've used that many a time.
That's a classic move, isn't it? You've got to dive. Always dive. Yeah, so I think we've covered that, Reese. The most alpha position I'd suggest is, well, it's not just the position, it's how you carry yourself there.
Carry yourself. So what we decided on, Phil, what is the alpha fielding position?
For me, I'm still going with short leg. I'm going short leg
David
over
Boone.
Slip.
David Boone was a good
yeah, yeah, but he's the short last, leg, he's giving the batsman load, so he actually wants to take your head off.
Nah, but he's the last
moving.
Alpha bloke to be there. You think about the people in since then that have done it, that we can think of. So you've got people like Ollie Pope, starting from now. You've got Alistair Cook, Keaton Jennings, your mate.
Definitely not a fucking
your
alpha.
Who else? They're not alpha males, are they?
And also, Phil, you've got to think in respect to, say, your club, Phil Stockton. You ever seen Phil Stockton at short leg?
He can't
would
catch,
he, mate. He'd go, would I fuck? Would I fuck?
Yeah, but hang on, the question was alpha position, not alpha
yeah,
person.
No, but I would...
No,
I would,
but I think the two would combine.
I would think he is an alpha male, though, isn't he? And would he field his short leg? No, he wouldn't.
I think it's much more... Like, it's more dominant to stand there at first slip with your arms crossed as a bowler's running into bowl.
Yeah. Not looking at the floor.
Having a chat to second slip or something, and then you send the kid in at short leg who's just going to get mullered to your shit off spinner who drags him down on a soft one. Yeah. So I'd say it depends. It's probably first slip or silly point, isn't it? Really?
Or the keeper who stands up with no lid on.
I don't
square leg. What about square leg next to the umpire?
That's
the worst.
That is the worst position. It's the hardest place to field because you don't get the ball there often, and when you do, it's the moodiest angle, and it probably spin as well.
A lot of chasing as well.
Yeah, a lot of chasing.
There's no protection either side.
Little squirt.
You're chasing the ball.
Little squirt through. Deep squares are right though. You can chill.
And
you've got
to save the singles.
Yeah. So long on and long off, there no chance. No,
because if you think
AB de Villiers at long on or Ben Stokes at long on.
And when you're doing long off to long off, that's a pretty fucking alpha move. That's just showing you that I'm the fucking bollocks. I'm doing it because none of you mugs can catch. I'm sprinting there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm fucking fit as fuck as well. He's taking abuse from both ends of the ground, yeah. So you've got the mug who's pissed at the pavilion end, yeah. Then you got to go and get it from another mug who's pissed at the other end.
You are backing yourself if you're doing long off to long off or long off.
Yeah. That's a good call, actually. I think you've got to go long off.
Long on, Matt. Long on, you get more catches.
Yeah, you do.
One of the longs.
Long on.
But I would say,
you might have to sprint round in front of cow and take it in front of cow as well because he can't catch.
And it shows you can throw as well because there's nothing more beta than not being able to throw in from the fucking boundary if you can't throw.
So you've done this quite a bit, Al. You don't just give it back to the fucking bowler.
No, straight to the keeper.
Another fucking 22 yards to prove you can throw that far to the keeper.
That's what I do every time.
He's a fucking idiot.
And then it bounces just...
And it lands halfway up the 22 as well. It doesn't even make it to the keeper.
Yeah, it dribbles. And they fucking run one in your arm and all.
And you're getting old when the higher you have to throw the ball. So I used to be able to throw it head high all the way. Now I have to throw it at 45 degrees with the wind just to get it anywhere near. And then it bounces in front of the keeper, rolls past him, and you blame him for not backing up. Right, I think we've covered a few fielding positions there that you can get yourself involved in, but you've got to be able to throw, you've got to be able to catch, and you've got to look cool as fuck whilst doing it.
Yeah, just don't drop anything, mate. If you fucking drop, well, catches win matches, don't drop the fucking ball. If you're going to do an alpha position, don't make yourself look a cunt.
Sunny's on as well.
Right, boys, I think that does it for today. Let's hope.
Can I say the C word on the podcast, by the way? You're going to have to edit that out.
You can say what you want, Phil. I don't care.
It's not acceptable on telly, is it? I noticed somebody, Jose Mourinho, saying the C word on the Tottenham thing and it got cut out.
Well, it's a bit, I think it's a bit different to our 212 people that are listening to this podcast, Phil.
True. I apologise if I offended anybody else.
Let's make sure that the next podcast is not 6 weeks away, and we'll do one...
Yeah, we've eased our way back in, boys, haven't we? It's been like a little pre-season friendly.
Yeah.
We've eased our way back in.
Yeah.
Thing is, we've not even had a season to speak of, have we? It's like, in the winter, it's hard to get, not motivated, but it's hard to find stuff to talk about, really, that's going to be of interest to people. And this season, apart from the test, has been a bit, well, for me anyway, I found it a bit hard to get into, really, cricket.
Yeah, I think it's been on the back burner, cricket, sadly. Yeah. But we've been treated to some good cricket, though, nonetheless.
You've still not come out up here to watch a game, by the way, lads. I'm still waiting for you to say, yeah, we're coming on this weekend.
Alf, we'll have to book something up, actually.
Yeah, no, I'm keen. We were waiting for him to get into double figures and then into some nick.
You're in phase three of lockdown, Phil, still, aren't you?
No, we're all right here, mate. Cheshire, we're clear.
Yeah.
What about
Manchester? I want to go Central Manchester. I don't want to go to...
Hey, they're all inbred anyway.
Bumpkin territory.
They're all inbred and they live in the same fucking household anyway, aren't they? They're all related.
Yeah, you should bring your club around.
Yeah, you can mingle with two other families. Oh, sweet. That's a North sorted.
Yeah.
You can have a round of golf. We'll get Billy on the golf course, Alf.
He can caddy for me.
You play golf, I'll be straight on that fucking train home. Golf clubs at home, right? Fucking golf. I'll tell you what, Phil, has your swing improved anymore? Churning out 10 rounds a week without a swing?
I've had
your
lessons.
Swing actually
reminds me. I'll tell you what, actually, I'll bring a fucking golf club. I'll give Phil a game and I'll fucking do it.
What's it?
Phil's golf swing's
like.
I have to borrow a fucking collar. And some fucking strides, because I don't own a collar.
No, you don't need a collar anymore. Tiger Woods brought that in seven years ago, mate.
I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I ain't wearing no fucking spikes.
Why don't you wear spikes
on a golf course?
You don't. Before. You don't.
But why do they sell spikes?
If it's a bit
you stand
wet.
There, you so hit you, the ball, lift. And then you walk to the ball and hit another shot.
Yeah,
why
but
do you,
you
need
can slip. You can slip with your swing sometimes if it's wet.
Yeah, if you swing it like fucking Phil, 190 mile an hour ball speed. Your golf swing's actually like Daniel Lawrence's bowling action.
Well, it's better now, mate. I've had to deconstruct the lot and start again at lessons, so it's better now. Better.
Right, well,
I've had loads of lessons, but I'm worse at golf than I ever have been.
Get yourself down the range, Phil. Anyway, boys, it's been a pleasure. Let's get another one in the diary, and I'm sure we can find some more shit to talk about. Yeah, I've got to start work now.
You've got
to clock on, haven't you? New York's come online, mate. He's got trades to make.
Exactly, Philip. Right, fellas. It's been emotional.
See you later.
Cheers.